Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we made it. We made it to episode 175.
Yeah, the final episode. Let's do it. Oh, what? Oh, no. We're not. We're going to keep going.
Oh, yeah, we've got much more to do. This isn't it. We're not done.
But, oh, yeah, we got that McCartney 3 Imagine
that's right.
review to do.
And Ringo's you're new right, EP. Right. Yeah, come on here.
Oh, and if we, if seriously, though, if we quit now without doing a Back to the Egg episode.
Oh, we would never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I might be murdered if I know.
Exactly. So no, we're not ending anytime soon. So, but we thought it'd be fun to take some audience questions because we always like to hear from you. You're the ones who keep us going and keep us in check sometimes. So we thought it'd be fun to open up and ask you four questions about anything Beatles. And we did get some good ones here. So we've got a list and a truly international list. You're going to hear some, at least one country we've never heard from before.
And, wow.
Yeah. And some other listeners who I've never heard from as well. So that'll be great, as well as some favorites. This is going to be done. You know, I have the questions. Chris doesn't have them and doesn't know. So we're going to get kind of...
We used to do this opposite.
Where I know
what's going on and you didn't. And that was a lot better.
No, it's more fun when you have all the answers and the questions, but I think it'll be fun to just get your insta reaction here to some of these questions. So
Let's do it.
All right. So our first one comes from Jim, and it says, 64 years have passed since McCartney and Lennon first met. The Beatles' music as a group and individually still endures and has continued to capture fans in subsequent generations. It would be interesting to hear your speculations on the state of their music and fans in the future. Let's say 25 to 30 years from now, maybe 2045 to 2050. Obviously, Paul and Ringo and most first-generation fans like me will no longer be around. Who will own and be managing their business? Will their music continue to be produced and sold? Will the fan base continue to be strong? How about even further in the future? And finally, will I've Got a Beatles Podcast still be producing great episodes? So, thanks, Jim. What do you think here? He's got kind of a get your
last question first. With my health, probably not.
Yeah,
sadly.
Oh. Oh well.
But,
on more positive things here, how about the Beatles?
just joking.
Okay.
Wow, that's a fascinating question. It puts to mind this, there's a singer, a kind of an oddball singer named Momus, and he released an album called Stars Forever, and the very first track on that is called Stars Forever, and the first thing he sings is like talking about Jebediah Lane, the great singing sensation of 1909. Will time remember him, or will will time, like the wax cylinder rolls, forget him? Basically, I'm very much paraphrasing the song, but yeah, and then he goes off to list a bunch of different groups like. Who will be remembered years from now?
Right.
REM, Guided by Voices, you know, which of these singers will be completely forgotten and which will be remembered. I do think Lennon and McCartney and the Beatles will be remembered, but I couldn't even speculate on how kids today see the Beatles.
Mm.
I think that there is a sort of a thing where parents pass down the music they love to their children, and then those children grow up and they pass down the music they love to their children. But the older the music sounds, you know, my dad loved, probably because of in his youth, he loved big band music. So I have a great affinity for big band music, but I think pretty much big band music is faded off to...
Yeah.
Children today probably don't know who Glenn Miller is, or
you can still listen to it on Sirius. They've got the 40s on 4.
40s Junction.
Yeah, 40s right. Junction. Yeah, yeah. Point taken.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a great philosophical question. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Obviously, it's hard to know what's going to happen, but I feel like with some of the moves that they've made recently, like Sean taking over John's catalog and taking over all things Lennon, I imagine Paul's kids will have something similar. And, you know, all the Beatle children maybe will continue that going and repackaging, refurbishing, rethinking a lot of the older music and keeping it alive. Because the Beatles have been so good at that. They always seem to, just when you think they're dying out, they come up with a new anthology or Beatles One or something, mm-hmm. all these box sets, all these things that keep bringing them back. So they're great marketing. But yeah, I think the kids will probably have a big role in the continuation of their legacy.
It's hard to say if in 100 years or something like that, if they're considered like Bach and,
well, know, right.
Like,
that was where I was going next. Yeah.
It sort of stick around. I would think probably yes, because of the quality of songwriting and the catalog, the entire catalog being of such high quality rather than say a Rolling Stone. I would imagine some Rolling Stones would stick around too, but Steel Wheels won't be listened to very much
no,
100
no.
years from now, you know?
No.
Whereas pretty much the whole Beatles catalog is, I mean, it's already survived 50 years.
Yeah. Like, you know, you mentioned the classical music. We have a canon in classical music that's kind of the so-called great composers, you know, your Bach, Beethoven, people like that. And there's also a popular music canon that's formed, and certainly the Beatles are among the Beatles and Bob Dylan are among the major figures in it. And so what in these days we've been looking at diversifying or bringing in other types of voices, but you shouldn't get rid of somebody like Beethoven or Bach. You just add to what they did. And so it's the same thing in the Beatles. I don't think they'll ever be forgotten because they're just too revolutionary and made too much of an impact. And they're too good at marketing, I have to say.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the other thing is once the age of video is created, then anything that there's video of.
Right. They're fixed.
Will survive forever because it'll even if it like say the video downgrades or whatever. Well, now there's Peter Jackson.
As we're going to find out. Yeah.
Rehabilitating the World War One footage that looks like it was filmed yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that they'll definitely survive for a long time. Based on the quality of the product, and the ability that we can see them, we can hear them talking, mm-hmm. and sort of like reliving it. Whereas, you know, some artists that there isn't much footage of out there, or they didn't have quite the gargantuan catalog, I think have faded off a little bit, like Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, has faded a little bit, I think, in the popular view. So I don't know. It's such a fascinating and we could probably do the whole podcast just answering that one question.
It's almost a whole show. Yeah. So, well, thanks, Jim. That's really interesting. And we'll continue to think about that. Second question comes from Ron. With so many love songs in the Beatles canon, speaking of canons, it would be interesting to see what both of you consider to be the Beatles' best love song.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to pick just one. That's really tough. Obviously, these just picking ones are very hard. We can think of a couple, I'm sure.
Off the top of my head, I'm thinking maybe If I Fell.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my
That's a
choice,
good one.
Probably.
And I Love Her, obviously, is a... Oh, boy. I think I get the answer.
Okay.
Something.
Yeah, that's probably... If you're going to pick the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just perfect song and very romantic song too.
Yeah. So you want to go with Something? And
I'm going to go with Something is my answer.
Okay. I would support you on that one, and maybe If I Fell at a close second.
Yeah.
Behind that. Well, we're going to at one point we're going to do the love songs. We're going to discuss the US release love songs and see if they got it right and see,
Oh, yeah.
yeah, and kind of talk like In My Life is kind of a love song in a different way. I mean, so, you know, we'll dig into it even further on that episode. So, good question, definitely. All right, number three from Yinka. I would like to ask if there are some Beatles songs that you initially didn't like as much, but have grown in your estimation over time, and vice versa. Feel free to add in solo Beatles songs too if you want. Ooh, that could be another. You're giving us lots of great show topics here. These are longer. Yeah,
Off
so.
the top of my head, definitely used to not like Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite at all. I thought it was kind of a turkey. And over time, it's like every time I listen to it, it gets better to me. It just like has grown in my estimation as the years have gone on.
I think one for me is The Fool on the Hill was a song that I used to skip. I didn't really like it very much. I thought it was kind of just boring and didn't like it, but then I started to play it and kind of analyze it and look at it a lot more, and now it's really become a favorite.
Maybe some tracks that are like when you're in like Let It Be, some Let It Be tracks that like particularly Two of Us, and not that I initially didn't like them, but I initially it was sort of like Let It Be is not that great. And then as I over the years of like listened to some of those tracks, I think they've become some of my favorites, you know? So.
How about the other way? How about songs that you just absolutely adored and now they're kind of sort of dropped a little bit or you like them less?
Boy,
Maybe it's because if it's like something that's overplayed, like Come Together, for example, is a song that.
yeah, Come Together would be a great choice of that. Like when you're first hear it, you're like, oh yeah, and then or after the 100th time they play it on classic rock radio, you're like, okay, all right,
Yeah,
let's play
pretty
something
tired
else.
of it. So but that's not necessarily the fault of the songs.
I also think there's some White Album tracks like Piggies for me, and a few tracks like that were lost in the shuffle of all of the White Album tracks that after so many years of listening have sort of become songs that maybe are even on my bottom list of songs on the White Album have like raised up the rankings for me.
That's it. It's always kind of a fluid process, kind of a things ebb and flow depending on, when we were, you have the box sets that came out and then suddenly the White Album's our favorite album and we're so into it. Oh, what a gem. I forgot how great, Mother Nature's Son was, or I forgot this song. And then you forget about it for a while and then you move on a little bit, but those are some pretty good choices. And solo songs, that's really hard. That's too
There's too
big, too
many. There's
big.
too many because every time these Paul Archive series come out, there's like one or two tracks that I'm like, oh, you know what? I like that a lot better than I thought I did. So there's just too many of those. But just off the top of my head, Arrow Through Me, for instance, when it was on Pure McCartney, I was like, didn't even consider that song anything. And now it's like I like that song.
Yeah, there's so many, and it's just really hard with the four. It's
Hold On maybe
oh
has gone to being one of my favorite John tunes, and boy, too
so
many,
yeah,
way
way
too
too many.
many. Oh,
So
so sad, or
oh yeah,
those tracks on
Dark
Far East
Horse.
Man,
That's a
and
great one. Yeah,
those tracks on that Dark Horse
exactly.
have definitely improved over the years,
Yeah.
in my opinion. I think it's interesting though, because you go through ebbs and flows with it though
Yeah,
too. You'll
definitely.
like some tracks, and then it's kind of just from over listening to certain parts of the catalog, you get bored with that, and then you're trying to find something else, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, the pound is sinking. I thought that was a stinker, and now I like it. So.
So, interesting question. So, thank you, Yinka, for that one. Number four from Chris D from England. We will have another Chris coming. If
Great
you,
name.
yes, great name, by the way. If you had the choice of owning one Beatles instrument, which would it be? And I don't mean the particular make or model. I mean the actual guitar or drum kit or tambourine, but I think you both will choose a guitar. For me, while I know it is only featured in a very short part of Macca's Beal's career, I'd have to go for his Rickenbacker 4001S left-handed fire glow bass. Lovely looking instrument. So, do you have a favorite Beatle instrument, the real deal, that you would like to have hanging on your wall right behind where I'm looking at you now?
Ooh, that is tough.
Yeah.
I would guess it would probably have to be a George, maybe the 12 string.
Yeah, the Rickenbacker 12 string.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real tough.
Yeah.
Depends on what you're going to do with it. Are you going to play it?
Or keep it under glass?
If you're going to keep it under glass and display it, I would think that the number one hot featured piece would be the Paul's.
Oh, the Hofner bass.
Hofner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would be like, you could practically start a museum where it's just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But as far as affinity for it, personal affinity, I think maybe that 12 string for me.
I would put that at the top of my list as well. And others, yeah, I like, the one that I really liked, and I'm sure we'll see it a lot more, is George Harrison's Telecaster that he used in Let It Be.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was specially made for him. And there is a replica you can buy that runs like $5,000 or maybe more. I don't know. It was a lot of money. But that the one you see him playing on Let It Be and playing on the rooftop is a really cool looking instrument. And I'm not a big Telecaster fan, but I like the looks of it.
So yeah.
That may be another interesting one. It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like the George one, if you could get to play it too.
Oh, man.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Paul's Hofner bass is hard to play, I would imagine, if you're I'm not a very good bass player. I don't have the hand strength to play the bass like that. So
well, we can all dream. It would be fun to have a real thing.
Yeah.
So thanks, Chris. Next up, now I'm not sure how to say this. It's MICAEL, so I don't know if it's Michael, but a different spelling. Michael from Bolivia. Our first Bolivian listener to write in. And he asks, why do you think that Paul is the only Beatle who worked with George Martin after the breakup?
I never quite understood John, sort of like in some interviews, seemed to be putting down George Martin a lot.
Yeah, real negative.
Real negative about George Martin. Pretty sure that George, even if he liked George Martin, just is a little more independent minded, because actually once he got past that first album where he used Phil Spector, didn't he produce most of them himself? So I think he was just too independent minded to be like, oh, let's get a producer in here. Whereas Paul's always like seemed to want to get some producers in there, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think he likes the collaboration, and I think he and George Martin were very sympathetic to one another's musical interests and aesthetics. You know, Paul's the only Beatle who's really into classical music, and he seemed to maybe view George Martin as a real teacher and kind of his mentor in a lot of ways. And I think he wanted the approval and wanted to work with him again when he started with the Tug of War, and even before Live and Let Die, and he just knew, they just had a good connection, I think, musical and personal connection. Yeah.
I don't know why Ringo wouldn't have wanted to work with George Martin, though. That makes no sense at all to me.
Yeah.
Maybe he asked, and maybe George is like, "Man, no thanks.
No thanks. Got too many other things."
So yeah. I that's a good question, but I don't know. I mean, the only person John has just gone on record and was quite negative towards George Martin. Maybe had John continued to work in the 80s, that maybe it would have popped up or something. Who knows?
Yeah, possible.
But George Harrison definitely seemed a little too independent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And definitely works in a totally different, you know, works out of the home and stuff like that
Right,
rather
right.
than going into the studio. So I can understand why that would have been not quite a connection as far as producing. Plus, I don't know if, just an interesting question here. Did George Harrison blame George Martin a little bit for his not getting enough tracks on the album, stuff like that? Was
Definitely,
it,
yeah.
yeah, so
Little
it could.
animosity there, like sort of like, well, you didn't really take me seriously, and now look, I've got a big, huge triple album that's number one and all these hits and stuff. So,
Yeah, hard to
kind
say.
of, yeah. Interesting question. All right, number six. My question is, this is from Chris W. from Hertfordshire in the UK. What is your favorite album track by each solo Beatle,
Ooh.
which was not released as a single? So no My Sweet Lord, no Photograph, no Band on the Run, tunes like that.
Okay.
So
Oh
favorite,
boy.
this is tough. Favorite album track by each solo Beatle, which was not released as a single. So you want to start with John?
John.
Yeah.
Just come off the ooh. I guess Hold On, which I mentioned before. I just really, really like that track at the more, other than the weird cookie that's thrown in there. How about I'm actually going to change that to Isolation.
Ah, good choice. Good choice. I'll say How would be
Oh, wow, yeah.
probably my favorite. How about for Paul?
Whoa,
Oof,
jeez.
I know,
How
I
do you
know.
even do it?
I know.
Brutal. Okay, I'll talked about this song many times. You Tell Me is going
Yes.
to be my choice. And it's a real underrated gem. So I'll just throw that one out there. There's probably about 10 other
Oh
answers
yeah,
to
it's too hard.
that. But too hard, but I really like that song.
I'll maybe say Every Night would probably
Oh,
be
yeah.
another, that's a very commercial, good song. We always liked it.
Yeah. We love that unplugged version.
Yes, with Hamish. Oh yeah,
Oh,
that's,
Hamish is great on that one. Yeah.
yeah. But so many, and that's, yeah, we could think of a whole slew of them for sure.
George, Far East Man,
Oh yeah, good choice.
right? I love that song so much.
I'll say Woman, Don't You Cry for Me, from 33 and a Third. Just most of the, there's so many good tunes on that album that are overlooked. So something from that album probably. And then Ringo.
Pure
Oh.
Gold was not a single, and that's my answer because I that's my might
Yeah.
be my favorite overall Ringo song, which is a really a Paul and Ringo song. Paul wrote it for him, but I really love that track.
Yeah.
Or If I'm the
There's.
Greatest wasn't a single, then maybe I'm the Greatest
Yeah.
is the answer because that's another gem.
Boy, and that hard to choose with the Ringo stuff. Yeah, I'll piggyback on your choices for that one. That sounds good.
I gotta stop going first,
I
Dave.
know. All right, we'll switch around for the next ones here. Up next, number seven. This one comes from John from Seattle. If you each had a time machine, which live show of the Beatles would you attend?
Whoa.
A cavern lunchtime, Star Club, Shea Stadium, Candlestick, rooftop concert, etc. Yeah, if you could only
That's a
attend,
great
great
question.
question. These are terrific today. If you could only attend one live show of the Beatles.
What are the choices again?
Well, he just gave some samples here.
Oh,
So
okay.
Cavern, Lunchtime, Star Club, Shea Stadium, Candlestick, rooftop concert, etc.
I think probably the answer for me would be a cavern show because A, there's very, very, very little footage that exists. There's that one. Some kind of gather. And you get the whole experience there. That would be the experience that's missing, that you can't like replicate in any way, really, of just being there and getting the stench of the place and hearing a full Beatles set and actually hearing them too.
Yeah.
Compared to now, this would be a cavern that's definitely after they've gone to Germany and they're back.
Okay. Okay. So not the early, early.
Not the early, early ones, but that. I think that would be my choice.
Okay. Wow. I might go for the spectacle of going to Shea Stadium just to see the craziness and just to be part of the pandemonium. Now, you probably won't hear a thing, and they had to re-record stuff, and, you know, sounds not great. But I think just that experience in seeing them, yes, it's not the best seeing a group in a stadium, obviously. But now it's better because you have video and you can see. But I think that was a landmark show, kind of for me, just to be there for the biggest open-air show that had ever happened to that point, probably.
Yeah.
Would be fun. So as long as I'm not getting trampled over by people or the police running into me or things like that. I might have been that guy. There's a picture of a guy kind of quietly standing there listening while his girlfriend is screaming in the video. That would have been me probably standing there with focused. But so many, you know, that's another really interesting topic. Just as part of our concert gig or famous gigs series, that we're going to get into some more of these. And yeah, even some of the European ones too, where you could actually hear them, like in France or Sweden or some of the other gigs might be better than the American ones where we were all just cuckoo. So
yeah, I guess, I mean, honestly, that's probably like the real best concerts to go to would be one of those.
But yeah,
I think for me that cavern experience would be just to be like, what was it really like? And
definitely,
you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so good, very good questions. So thanks to John on that one. Next up, from Michele from Italy, who's been a longtime listener, and he wants to know this is another show ranking the Beatles' best vocals. It's really. It's going to be a tough one. So,
wow,
I know.
That's a whole show.
That is a whole show. So.
You have to go first on this.
Okay,
one. You tricked me last time.
I did trick you. Well, it's tough because which Beatle, which, you know, what's the, but what does best vocal mean? I think of a few. They're not original thoughts, but I think John singing Money is pretty terrific. Paul on Long Tall Sally, George on Here Comes the Sun, and maybe Ringo's Octopus's Garden. I think he does well on that one.
Does he say to list them individually like
no,
that? No. That's just how you're doing
just,
it.
I'm just doing it that way.
I was thinking like, okay, where do they want these ones? Like Because? Like
oh,
Yes
yeah,
It Is?
Could, that's true. It could be the group.
Where they're together.
Yeah,
I really think that's where the super magical when it's...
Yeah.
I mean, there's great vocal performances throughout the catalog. There's great individual single vocal performances.
Mm-hmm.
But these like Because, Yes It Is, and when you've got the harmonies there. In My Life, obviously, very beautiful. So I'd say those probably
that's good
for me.
And if we're going with that criteria, then I'll just having John and Paul together is always magical. So on Two of Us or Ticket to Ride or something
like
that.
I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
boy, yeah.
Too hard. That's a whole episode's worth. Maybe we'll try a vocal ranking or ranking every single Beatles song vocals.
Yeah, so but there's so many to choose from. All right, next one. I got two more. If John had lived, what do you think his participation in the anthem? This is from Carl from Maine. If John had lived, what do you think his participation in the anthology project would have been? Would he have boycotted it or been a reluctant participant like George was? Or an eager participant like Paul? I'd like to think that he'd embraced it based on May Pang's assertion that he openly discussed recording with Paul again, and also based on John's immense pride in the band's accomplishments. So if John, yeah, what do you think about the anthology and John's role if he were still alive?
I mean, obviously it's just speculation, but I would think that he would be hesitant to even have the anthology. And I don't think it would have gone forward without him. I think it would have maybe not happened. And instead, maybe they did record again or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or have a tour or something, perhaps.
So some new, together. Something new.
Something, yeah, I would think he would be like, if we're going to do something again, let's not just run a old retreads of all yeah. this and that. And yeah. he'd be a little anti, you know, doing it. And then maybe we'd be getting an anthology like now or something.
Yeah, much later.
Much later after he had died.
That's really interesting.
That's a really tough call, but I that's sort of a just on instinct. I'd be like, I think he'd kind of push against like greatest hits or
nostalgia
yeah. until he was like, you know, when I'm gone, then maybe
yeah.
you can do whatever you want as far as that goes. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think maybe it would have stopped the anthology project altogether.
That's yeah. I hadn't
say it.
I hadn't thought of it that way. That raises a different issue because we're assuming that they would have just gone forward with the same time frame in the mid '90s, which probably would have been different if John had still been alive and still been an active recording artist, or who knows what he would have done. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he would probably not, if they were still in, because in the '90s they were all still recording and still doing stuff. So I don't. It would have been too soon for him, probably. Maybe for if he were still alive, maybe one of the anniversaries, like the 50 years after Ed Sullivan and the 64 stuff, maybe.
But if it did go ahead, let's say it did go yeah. ahead, and everybody yeah. agreed that it went ahead. There's no way to me that he'd boycott it.
No.
Because he does not want, I would not think he would want someone else to be telling the story.
Right. It's his band. Yeah.
yeah. So he'd be front and center.
Yes.
Just to make sure Paul doesn't spin it his way. right?
Exactly. No, that's totally true. So if we take the question on face value here, and the Beatles were actually all together to do the anthology, I agree. I think he would have been involved for sure, just to get it right, and not to have Paul kind of take over or rewrite things. So,
and maybe it would have been a little more interesting and a little less happy time. Oh, this, mm-hmm. well, you know, we were just lads, you know.
Yeah, yeah, good little band. yeah.
And a little bit more
friction
in the actual documentary, making it possibly a little more interesting.
Yeah, possible.
I like the Beatles anthology documentary. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. When are we gonna get a re-release of that?
I'm glad I have my DVDs because that one has been.
Yeah, I wish
gone.
I would have bought the DVDs. I had the videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released the DVDs, and the DVDs had much more material.
There was an extra disc, yeah.
And now I've still got the tapes, but I was like, you can't find the DVDs, and frustrating.
Yeah.
Let's get a re-release of that. Let's get that on Blu-ray. And
would be nice. So,
I think he would not. He'd either be like, let's not do this project. I'm not allowing it to go forward. Or he'd be front and center part of it, active. Mm-hmm. He would not just be passive and be like, do whatever you want, I don't care.
No, and he wouldn't be grumbly like George about it, I don't think, either.
No.
So, yeah, good question. Thank you, Carl. And finally, our last one. These are tough.
These have been challenging, but I appreciate all of them. It's,
yeah.
It's really great.
Absolutely. You've actually given us some new show ideas, too, so thanks for that.
yeah.
So here's another one. This is from Wayne from KC. What Beatles or solo Beatles song would you like to have been a fly on the wall during the recording? You only get one choice. So Beatles or solo Beatles. We could take one of each if you want.
You go first.
Okay. All right. I thought about this one because I had the question for a little while longer. Okay. I think maybe for me it would have been Strawberry Fields Forever, seeing how that one all came together over the sessions and how it came into being. So probably Strawberry Fields for regular Beatles.
That's a great answer. Similarly,
it's tough.
It's a real tough question. I'm probably going to say a sort of similar answer, which would be Day in the Life, just because of the layers of it and seeing everybody work at work and getting to see George Martin in action and getting
the orchestra,
the orchestra and all that.
Yeah, good choice.
Now, solo, that's easy for me.
Okay, solo.
How do you sleep?
Ah.
Did you get John and George?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to hear all of the comments off tape.
Yes. Good. Good choice. Yeah. Yeah. I was going
to. It is cool. I mean, just I could sit there and listen to George do that slide guitar on How You Sleep for like hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'll agree with you because of another person who was in the room at the time. I think I would love to see something with Phil Spector in action.
Oh, yeah.
So that one would fit. And then I would pick something from All Things Must Pass, maybe, My Sweet Lord, or anything where it's just got so much stuff on it, to see how that all worked with Phil Spector behind the board, I think would be fascinating to see. So I'd agree with you. Something with Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just couldn't pass that up. Yeah. And How Do You Sleep would be even better with two Beatles and about Paul. It's just.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But wait a minute. Remember, it's John said it's about himself. It's not about Paul. Right. So there you have it. There are our audience questions. And we want to thank you for continuing to listen, of course, and for contributing these great questions and making us think a little bit or getting us on our toes.
Yeah. You think we'll make it to 200, Dave? Is my health going to help?
You really worried me there, Chris.
I've just been a little under the weather this week. So that was more of a joke about like just not feeling good this particular week.
But good. I'm glad.
I think I'll be all right. All right.
We'll make it to 200.
I'm going on a diet anyway, Dave.
Okay. All right. And on that note, we'll thank you for listening and contributing. And
Actually, Dave, we should let's take this opportunity quickly to run through a few news items.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Sure.
First off, biggest news of them all. Dave's got his pre-order in a new Hey Grand Dude book.
You know, can I say I bought Hey Grand Dude for my niece last year, and my sister told me that she's got a sister also and a brother. The sister, they loved it. Had my mother or my sister had to read Hey Grand Dude multiple times. So I hope my sister isn't listening, because that's what the kids are getting for Christmas. They're getting the new Hey Grand Dude book.
Yeah, it's Hey Grand Dude Green Submarine.
Oh,
I guess.
I'm going to get my order in for sure.
Yeah, so that's one Paul news item. The other Paul news item is Paul McCartney 3, Reimagined, which is a all covers and remixes version of Paul 3, which would be fine, I think, but we've also got colored vinyls all of it.
No.
Have you seen the cover too? Does the cover look like garbage to you?
It does
to me.
Because the McCartney 3 album has a cool cover, but this one doesn't.
No, I don't get it. I'm not sure why we get it, and I fear that it also means that there's a third release coming out which combines them all.
Oh, with
It's
the
just,
extras and
yeah. Now, perhaps when it comes out and we listen to it, that we really enjoy some of the versions of it, which are, I guess, and it's unclear to me if they're all remixes, they're all cover versions, or if it's 50-50, if Paul's on some of them, if not, very unclear. But what do you think of the project overall there?
Not interested.
Yeah.
It's too, first of all, it's too soon, and we've barely even learned the songs on the album that well. And then to have sort of a random assortment of people doing cover songs, I don't know what the point is yet. I'm just not understanding the reason for doing that.
Yeah.
So
Of the three Paul projects that have been announced that we've yet to see, the lyrics slash autobiography book, I think, is the winner of the bunch.
yes,
The
absolutely.
thing I'm much more excited about. I've got my pre-order in, and yeah, I'm thrilled that when that comes out, it's going to be hard to not at least talk about. Not exactly. These books aren't exactly brief.
Lightweight.
Yeah, I'm still going through the 100. What is it? 150 glimpses of the Beatles. That one's a good one, by the way. But yeah, it's hard. It's very difficult to do that. But this one might be essential to talk about. So. And of course, we also, are anticipating the big John Lennon Plastic Ono Band release that's coming out as a big deluxe. Also coming out on, I believe, the vinyl version of this one, unlike the Imagine, is in a half speed mastered version, which I heard. So I think that that's really excellent. So for vinyl people who like vinyl, that's a good thing. And then of course the two CD version, which
Yeah, I think that comes out on April 16th. So
yeah, so
that's.
we'll have a review of that probably end of April once we have
It'll take a while to
talked
digest all of
so
that.
much on it. And then I guess on the Blu-ray is a whole jam session that they did to record Yoko's album, and so there's tons of supplemental material as far as that goes. So we're very excited for that one. So
Definitely.
look forward to that one coming out. But our next episode, Dave, is going to be,
Oh, I'm
oh
so
yeah, we're going
excited.
to dive deep into Ringo.
Time for some Zoom In, the EP that was just released on March 26th or March 19th. So, yeah, I know I'm looking forward to talking about Zoom In with you. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, well, we'll leave it there for now. And thanks again for listening for 175 episodes. And here's to the next. I don't know if 175 is possible, but we'll keep at it and keep engaging with you. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back with some Zoom In and Ringo Starr in our next episode.